This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Each side claims something is rigged. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Marcy Norton, who's in for Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, October 25th. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Donald Trump says a new report is more proof of how the system is fixed against him, and a Hillary Clinton ally is using the same terminology, but in a different vein.
More bad news for Obamacare. The White House is forced to admit that premiums are skyrocketing as choices dwindle.
A new poll finds Americans have more respect for police than they've had in decades.
And World Series Game 1 tonight. Corey Kluber on the mound for the Indians. It's John Lester for the Cubs.
Joe talks about staying in the moment. That's kind of his big thing, is always stay in the moment, stay relevant to what we're doing now. And I think this group has done a really good job of that. And I think it just, we feed off each other with that saying. You know, guys, we don't look ahead of anything. We stay where we're at, and we'll enjoy this for the next however many days and see where we're at the end. One of us has to win, right?
How about ticket prices on par with the Super Bowl for this World Series? That report is later in the hour. Well, Donald Trump says the political contributions engineered by a longtime Hillary Clinton ally represent more evidence that the system is rigged against him. Mr. Trump yesterday cited a front page story in the Wall Street Journal, which we told you about, that detailed political contributions made by organizations controlled by Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe to Jill McCabe, a Democrat who lost a 2015 Virginia State Senate campaign. Her husband, Andrew McCabe, a career FBI guy, later oversaw the team that investigated Mrs. Clinton's private email server. Mr. Trump brought it up during remarks in St. Augustine, Florida.
She has to be held accountable because she knew that money, $675,000 plus, was being paid. So how is she allowed to continue to run for president?
Spokesman for Mr. McAuliffe denied the governor's support for Dr. McCabe was influenced by the FBI probe into Mrs. Clinton's email server. Mr. Trump, by the way, also has a relationship with Mr. McAuliffe. In 2009, he donated $25,000 to Mr. McAuliffe's first campaign for governor. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton appears confident enough that she'll win the presidential election that she's turning her support to down-ballot candidates. At a rally yesterday at St. Anselm College in Manchester, New Hampshire, she shared a stage with a number of Democratic women running for office, including Governor Maggie Hassan, who's in a tight race for the Senate, and former Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter, who is hoping to return to the House. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren joined Mrs. Clinton at the event and echoed Donald Trump's complaint about a system being rigged.
The game is rigged. It's rigged for the Donald Trumps and billionaires of the world, and we're here to fight back. That's what we're here for.
Senator Warren also listed her own priorities, including a major new federal program to subsidize college tuition, new regulations on Wall Street, and an expanded Social Security program, policies also embraced by Hillary Clinton. Well, one of the Democratic Party's biggest priorities after this election is to redraw congressional lines in states where Republicans have created boundaries to their political advantage. But Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal, says the Democrats' disadvantage in the House isn't primarily a result of redistricting. He says they need a different message. Josh set this up.
Democrats believe that the only reason that they can't win the House, they haven't had much success in contesting the House since 2010, is because of district lines. So they're sorely mistaken. And the reality is, when you have a party that's really focused more in recent years, especially under President Obama, on energizing the Democratic base and doesn't really pay attention to sort of the swing district issues, the moderate issues that have traditionally propelled Democratic candidates in swing House districts, that's a formula for continuing to lose the House, even if you do, in a best-case scenario, get Democratic lines drawn in some of these big swing states.
All right, so who gets to redraw them and why?
Well, first of all, there's no guarantee that Democrats will be successful in electing governors and state legislatures in these states that will draw the lines in the Democrats' favor. So the first step for Democrats is to elect in the upcoming governor's elections and upcoming state legislative elections, elect more Democrats.
Okay.
And that's a lot harder to do than it is to talk about. So first they need that to happen before they can even entertain the prospect of redrawing the lines in a more favorable manner. The other thing is, and it's a sort of an underappreciated dynamic, a lot of African-American Democrats in these states, these swing states, actually like having these gerrymandered districts because it guarantees a level of minority representation. So, like in Ohio, for example, it was actually African-American Democrats that teamed up with Republican Governor John Kasich to make sure that there was a sort of gerrymandered district around Columbus so an African-American Democrat could get elected from that seat. So there's no guarantee that even if Democrats are in charge, that they can get everything, all the lines drawn in the most favorable way possible, because other interests might have other things to say about that.
We're speaking with Josh Krauthaar, politics editor at National Journal. His story is called "To Win the House, Democrats Need to Change Their Message." So the message essentially would change from what to what?
Well, I mean, 2006, I write about in the piece, was sort of a model year for House Democrats. Rahm Emanuel, now the mayor of Chicago, Obama's former chief of staff, he was the guy in charge of recruiting House Democratic candidates. And he specifically targeted some Democrats in certain districts who were pro-life, or certain Democrats who were much tougher on immigration than the national party was. And it worked very, very successfully. Rahm Emanuel was able to elect Democrats in states and districts that President Bush won and that were very conservative areas. And 2008 was also another example where Democrats were winning House seats in states like Alabama and Mississippi, in areas where you don't see Democrats very successful. But it was because they intentionally realized they had to have a more moderate message in these areas, and they realized the math in winning the House is different than winning a presidential race. That your average House district is a lot more conservative than the math needed to win the presidency.
Mm.
But now you have a party that just really doesn't, you know, the energy for the Democratic Party, as we saw in the Democratic presidential primaries, all with a base. So they don't want to make the concessions. They don't want to be pragmatic. They kind of have the same issues that Republicans do, and trying to play to the base first and not looking at the middle of the country where a lot of these House races can be won.
All right, so you quote a Washington Post profile with regards to Vice President Biden, who's talking about Democrats turning into a party controlled by intellectual elites.
Yeah, Joe Biden is sort of the epitome of someone who is begging his own party not to overlook working class white voters. And these are a lot of these districts with these working class voters were in Democratic territory. There are a lot of districts in Pennsylvania near Joe Biden's hometown, in fact, that have flipped from Democrat to Republican because of sort of the changing views among the constituency. So, I mean, Joe Biden is actually in Missouri this week campaigning for a Democratic Senate candidate who is actually a lot more conservative than your average Democrat. And he has a good chance of winning this election as well. And he understands that you can't just be the candidate, or you can't just appeal to coastal liberals in winning an election, especially when you're looking at the map where it takes a more conservative message to win the House and to a lesser extent the Senate.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Krauthaar, politics editor at National Journal. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com will do all the work for you. They'll even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone. It's at the top of the homepage, and type in the promo code DEAL. That's Stamps.com. Then enter the promo code DEAL. Thanks for being with us. The Obama administration is admitting what millions of Americans already know. Monthly premiums for Obamacare are skyrocketing, and there are fewer choices for health insurance. Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
The White House acknowledged yesterday that monthly premiums on the exchange's benchmark silver plans will rise an average of 25% before subsidies are factored in. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of consumers whose health insurance plans are being discontinued for next year will get some flexibility when signing up for a new plan during open enrollment, a sign of continued turmoil in the exchange markets. The Obama administration wants those consumers to select a new plan by December 15th, but there are some additional dates for flexibility depending on your situation. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 19 minutes now after the hour. 20 minutes after the hour now on this morning. Marcy Norton is here with more of America's First News.
The Mississippi NAACP is demanding a federal hate crime investigation after a black high school student says he was accosted by his fellow football players who placed a noose around his neck on school grounds. Here's state NAACP President Derek Johnson.
No child should be walking down the hall or in the locker room and be accosted with a noose around their neck. Thank you. This is 2016, not 1916.
The boy's parents want the culprits tried as adults. The school board in Wiggins, Mississippi, so far not making any comment. The United Nations is abandoning a plan to evacuate injured patients from the besieged Syrian city of Aleppo. It's blaming all the parties involved in the bloody conflict for obstructing humanitarian efforts. No patients were evacuated during last week's three-day ceasefire. The Syrian government has objected to allowing medical and other relief supplies into the rebel-held part of that city. 59 people are dead after militants stormed a police academy in Pakistan. More than 100 people were injured, and government officials say the number of casualties could rise. No group has claimed responsibility, but Pakistani officials blame an Islamist militant group with links to Al-Qaeda and the Pakistani Taliban. Consumer Reports is no longer recommending the Honda Civic as a reliable vehicle. Change comes after owners of the popular model have reported a number of issues with it, including things like electronics failures and faulty dashboard consoles. It's the first time in recent memory Consumer Reports has not recommended the Civic. It's the second big corporate merger announced in a week's time. First, it was AT&T and Time Warner. Now, TD Ameritrade is agreeing to acquire Scott Trade Financial for $4 billion. Call it the cutest kidney stone ever. A woman in Georgia went to the ER insisting that she was having a kidney stone, and it turns out she was pregnant and didn't know it. 30 minutes later, Stephanie Jagers was holding her newborn son. You know, this is just one of those things for me that makes you go,
Did you just quote CNC Music Factory there?
I did.
Things that make you go,
I'm hip. I'm with it.
You are. That's good. And she's had like three children, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's some weird stuff here.
Yep, I
right?
know.
She was still menstruating the whole time, apparently. The baby was breached, so she wasn't showing.
I guess you have to experience it. I don't get it.
That is strange stuff. Thank you, Marcy. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Comparison shopping, as you know, is a key bargain hunting strategy, especially as it turns out when you're planning for your last big purchase. As difficult a subject as it may be, you do not want to be unprepared when planning for your funeral. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com says funeral service and cremation prices vary widely. Kelly, what will we see?
Well, you're going to see a lot of variation, and that's really the key. There was some new data out from the Consumer Federation of America and the Funeral Consumers Alliance. They looked at, you know, a lot of key markets, and they found that costs for something like a cremation could be as little as $495 or upwards of $7,500. So,
wow.
Yeah, really, really big pricing differences there. And there was some other data that was out from a site called parting.com, which does comparison costs. And they were seeing in New York City, you know, the differences, you know, can be, you know, more than 18 times as much, a little as $550 for a cremation in New York City, or as much as $10,125. So, you know, this is the sort of stuff that could really be easily rectified by just making a couple of phone calls.
Wow. And what's the recommendation that you do this on your own behalf or for on behalf of family members? I feel like you know, might jinx something if you start talking about it.
Well, it's certainly smart from your own planning perspective to at least think about what it is that you would like your family to do for you, because what we hear a lot of the times from consumer advocates is, you know, if they're aren't plans in place, it's very easy for them to, you know, get sucked into, you know, going and, you know, paying for everything and really top of the line, because it's, you know, how do you cheap out on a funeral for your mother? But if mom's instructions are really clear that, you know, I want to have a direct cremation, or, you know, I want this type of memorial service, not that, you know, don't go crazy with the casket, it's a little bit easier for your heirs to be sticking to that budget.
Okay. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's got a piece about comparison shopping funeral costs. Is this easily done? Do you just call the home that's in your town or two homes and say, what do you got? Here's what I'm thinking about. Or is there one-stop shopping for, you know, looking online?
Well, there is actually now, which is a good thing, because previously when we've talked to consumer advocates about this sort of thing, they say it can be difficult to do. A lot of funeral homes are great. They're above board. They'll give you the pricing list. Others are not so great with giving you detailed pricing lists and things that are up to date. But there is a relatively new site called parting.com where you put in your zip code, you put in the type of funeral that you're looking for, and it's going to kick back a list of pricing for all of the local homes. They've done that legwork for you.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy, and that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, thanks for being with us. It's Tuesday, October 25. Gordon Deal with Marcy Norton, who's filling in for Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: Trump cites proof of how the election is rigged. How about this? For the first time in 35 years, an American car maker has cracked the top three of Consumer Reports Reliability Survey. Well done, Buick. New York Times says young adult novels are now about things like the financial crisis. Dolphins running back Arian Foster retires. Brock who? Broncos pummel the Texans. And the ticket prices for the Cubs-Indians World Series on par with the Super Bowl. That story in about 20 minutes. You know that the NHL has a long and colorful history of taking the Stanley Cup on tour. Each member of the championship team gets the trophy for a day. And some NBA players have adopted the practice with the Larry O'Brien Trophy in recent years. But New York Times sports reporter Scott Cassiola says the extent to which the Cavaliers have embraced the trophy is unique and not without reason. Scott, how so?
We've seen this in recent years where basketball teams are treating the Larry O'Brien Trophy, or as they affectionately refer to the trophy, just as Larry. He's Larry. He's almost like his own person. As this really, this summer-long celebration friend. He's really their best friend over the summer. So I kind of caught up with the Cavaliers this week and asked about their travels with Larry and what that experience has been like. And the championship glow is still settling over Cleveland, especially with the World Series coming this week also.
Right. Well, it must be special in Cleveland, right? As you point out, kind of a sports championship-starved town. It's not like this is L.A. or San Antonio where they've had kind of multiple championships.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think for people here, this is all surreal. They went, I think it was 1964 was their last major pro sports title. The Browns actually won the NFL championship that year. And they went, God, my math is bad, but that's what, I mean, half a century until the Cavaliers won it all in June. And now, in the span of months, they've got another team vying for a huge title. The Indians will obviously play game one against the Cubs tomorrow night, which happens to coincide with the Cavaliers' season opener against the Knicks.
Wow.
So about a half hour before the first pitch of the World Series at Progressive Field here in Cleveland, the Cavaliers will unveil their championship banner and receive their championship rings before their home opener. So this is all happening within, like, these arenas are and the baseball stadium are right next to each other. This is all going to happen within an hour in Cleveland. And for a, like you said, a totally championship-starved city, this is heaven.
That's great. We're speaking with Scott Cassiola, sports reporter at the New York Times. He covers the NBA. His piece is called Cavaliers' Reward for the Title is to Share a Prized Trophy. All right, so kind of circle back then to the story and kind of what some of the players are doing with this trophy while they get their time with it.
Absolutely. So it sort of started with a championship parade in Cleveland days after they beat the Warriors for the title. A couple days after that, LeBron James, the face of the team, took Larry out for oysters at an oyster house in downtown Cleveland. He kind of just showed up with the trophy with his friends, and they put it on the table and had his meal. And then some of his teammates got creative. Tristan Thompson, who's native of Toronto, took the trophy home to Toronto, went to a Tim Hortons. So, I mean, it's kind of surreal for people who are just like eating and having coffee at Tim Hortons, and Tristan Thompson, this huge NBA star, and the Larry O'Brien trophy come in. David Griffin, the general manager of the team, took Larry up in a blimp. Richard Jefferson, one of the team's veterans, took the trophy home to Phoenix and went to his high school for a pep rally. The high school coach kind of placed Larry next to the state championship trophy that Richard Jefferson won as a senior in 1998.
Oh,
so that
nice.
Was kind of cool. And really just the Cavs have really just embraced the imagery of the trophy more than anything.
Thanks, Scott. New York Times sports reporter Scott Cassiola. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are 3 numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, as we count down the days, 14, by the way, for those keeping score at home, to the historic presidential election, we know lots of folks are going to want to tell the world via social media that they voted and who they voted for by snapping a selfie of themselves in the voting booth on election day. Not so fast. Though, as it is illegal to Instagram your ballot in a number of states. Fox News broke down the map with a legal analyst yesterday and found that 18 states banned the practice altogether, including almost all of the Deep South and Southeast, as well as New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, Illinois, and others. The reason that the practice is often frowned upon is a fear of vote buying, where a person could photograph their ballot with their phone as proof in order to collect a payment for voting for a specific candidate.
Ah, entrepreneurialism at its finest.
Yes, as if we needed something else to worry about
right.
on this election day.
That's right.
All the talk of rigged elections and such.
How about that knock on the door, though? Mr. Gavin, we need a word with you, please, about this Instagram photo in the polling booth the other day.
Can you imagine?
Who's this
small child who has accompanied you.
Yeah.
That's my son. We're just trying to give him a lesson on civics today.
But yeah.
That's not allowed, sir.
Yes. And of course, but of course we need to tell the whole world, you know, about our lesson on civics. We can't just give him the lesson. We need to tell everybody about it.
How do we know that this picture is not from 2012, sir? Can you please explain?
Yeah. Exactly. And Gordon, if you plan on following or talking about the NBA on Twitter this season, you should make sure that you're using the correct hashtags and hash flags so that you're part of the greater conversation. The NBA released the official list of Twitter tags yesterday, and some of them are creative, while others could maybe use a little marketing oomph. If you're a Warriors fan, for example, you can tag your tweets with Dub Nation. The Milwaukee Bucks are selling optimism this season with the hashtag OwnTheFuture. Mm. The defending champs hashtag is DefendTheLand. And the teams from New York and Boston, however, don't seem to feel like they need to get cute with their marketing, opting for hashtag Knicks and hashtag Celtics, respectively.
Yeah, because the Knicks have been so great lately,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you don't need to come up with clever marketing when your team is that good.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need all those tricks.
Yeah, right. And by the way, just for the record, I will not be talking about or tweeting about the NBA.
No, not at all.
That is my rescue when I can't sleep. Put on the NBA. Just not into it. Thank you, Mike. It's 15 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Tuesday. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices every day on the office items you use most, like ink and paper. See store or staples.com for special deals and additional savings on printers, ink, and toner. Staples, make more happen. Would having off from work on Election Day, 2 weeks from today, mean a spike in the number of people who show up to vote? A number of companies think so. The Wall Street Journal says the payments provider Square Inc., the digital media company Thrillist, and the online mattress retailer Casper Sleep are among employers giving workers the day off in order to vote. Leaders there say the paid holiday leaves workers no excuses. Greg Pavone, the co-owner of Limelight Custom Sign in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, gave his employees the day off to vote in 2012, says it did put him and his staff well behind on work, but he plans to do it again 2 Tuesdays from today. A free day off on Election Day is comparatively rare, but most companies do allow workers some time to vote. Meanwhile, advocates say Election Day holidays would boost voter participation, but a 2009 working paper by an economics professor at Princeton found that state employees who had Election Day off did not vote in greater numbers than those who still had to head to the office. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Marcy Norton is back with more of America's First News.
Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton campaigned in New Hampshire yesterday, accompanied by her ally, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Warren took on GOP candidate Donald Trump, who's taken heat for calling Clinton a nasty woman during the last debate.
Get this, Donald! Nasty women are tough. Nasty women are smart. And nasty women vote.
The rally featured a number of Democratic women running for office. Clinton's been focusing on supporting Democratic down-ballot races in hopes of helping Democrats win a majority in either the House or, more likely, the Senate. Meantime, Trump has been crisscrossing the crucial state of Florida to drum up support, as several national polls show him behind Clinton. Trump got some mileage out of the government's acknowledgement that Obamacare premiums are going up sharply next year.
Country can't afford it. You can't afford it. We're going to have great health care at a fraction of the cost. And you watch. It'll happen.
Trump also capitalized on a Wall Street Journal report suggesting a Clinton ally married to an FBI investigator received a big campaign contribution. That FBI guy was helping with the Clinton email probe. Trump says it's no wonder the FBI cleared Clinton of wrongdoing. 10 years after the Pentagon enticed some soldiers to reenlist by offering hefty bonuses, officials are demanding thousands of those veterans pay the money back. A retired master sergeant pleaded guilty to filing false claims on behalf of her fellow California National Guard members. She's in jail, but the government is now trying to claw back the payments made to service members. Medical professionals are shaking their heads after a suburban Atlanta teenager woke up from a coma, able to speak fluent Spanish. His parents say he knew a little bit of Spanish before he was injured during a football game last month, but was far from fluent. Experts say this kind of thing isn't unheard of, but it is extremely rare.
That kind of stuff, I can't even comprehend what is happening in the brain.
The brain is so complicated and amazing, and right? They say that it's sort of fading as he improves his ability to speak Spanish.
But that's the good news, bad news, I guess, right?
Right, right.
Not that you want to trade that, for sure. Thank you, Marcy. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. How much would you pay for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity? That's what Chicago Cubs fans have to determine as their favorite team makes its first World Series appearance in 71 years tonight. Given the historic nature of the event, prices are sky high. Yahoo Sports says going to a World Series game in Chicago is pretty much on par with attending a recent Super Bowl. More on that in a minute. Meanwhile, according to SeatGeek, the price for a ticket to Game 1 tonight in Cleveland, $1,156. Tomorrow night in Cleveland, the price drops for Game 2 by about $35. If they hold, by the way, those figures would make this World Series the most expensive in recent memory. You want to attend one of three games in Chicago, which will be Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday if needed. It'll cost you about as much as a recent Super Bowl ticket, almost $3,400 for Game 3, $4,000 for Game 4, then more than $4,400 if there's a Game 5, the only event SeatGeek has seen with a higher average resale value, the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. That'll do it for this hour. For Marcy Norton, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.